If you will, turn with me to Psalm 62. I'll come back to this. This will serve as my text. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. See them. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are alike. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. I invite you this morning to turn again with me to Psalm 62. The subject of this psalm is given to us at the outset. Truly, David writes, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now, the word cometh was added by the translators to make it more readable. You can see in there how it's written in your Bibles. That means you can lift it out with any damage to the text. I like it in the original. From him, my salvation. My salvation. God himself is our salvation. Let that sink in. Men and women are saved. Children are saved. By doctors, by individuals from drowning and death and cancer and this and that and the next thing. They're, but what is it to be saved by God? God himself. Oh, I thank God for doctors. Thank God for doctors. Boy, I've been hurting at times and doctors helped me. I'm thankful for them. But when it comes to salvation of the soul, God is our Savior. And what a Savior he is. While it's true that salvation cometh to all his saints, it is also true that God was, is, and ever shall be their salvation. God has saved us. Timothy. Paul wanted to tell Timothy, he wanted some impact to this, to go home to this young. God has saved us. Wasn't a Baptist church. It wasn't religion in general. God saved us. He saved us. When did that start? In eternity past? Then He called us. He saved us when He put us in Christ. He saved us when Christ came into this world as a representative man. He saved us when Christ died on the cross. He saved us when He raised Him from the dead. When He walked on that cloud and God received Him into glory and He sat down at the right. God saved us. And then He called us. What did He call us? How did He call? He told us what He did. Who is this man? Why did He come? What did He do? Where is He now? He called us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. God is our salvation. That's what David's rejoicing in, God. God is our salvation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Huh? God's elect. Boy, that has a ring to it, don't it? There's no part of our salvation that's not owing to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the book of Jude, it said we're sanctified by God the Father. Set apart by Him from all eternity. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. I love to can stuff out of the garden. And I can them beans or whatever it is, and I sit around listening, pretty soon I hear that pop. And lids on that jar. It's good to go. I can put it on the shelf and next year I can open it up and eat it without fear. It's preserved. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. And we're called by the Holy Ghost. He said to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory. All the glories to Him. Majesty. Oh, who is the majesty? Huh? Well, He's not in England. His majesty seated on the throne of glory. Dominion, is there anything He doesn't rule over? And power, both now and forever, Paul said, amen. I had four things that I want us to see in these verses. I want us to see here a precious commitment. That's the first thing I want us to see. And then I want to show you here a grand expectation and a divine trust and a sure effect. So let's begin where the psalmist begins, with a precious commitment. What's he talking about here? He's talking about your soul. My soul. There are many things in this life that become precious to us. Our families. Our wives. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Houses. Jobs. Friends. The list goes on. Things become precious to you. You know, we planted some trees when Kathy and I first built our house up in Kentucky. We planted some trees. Hopefully, Yvonne and I are going to be doing that before too long. In a few years, it wasn't just a tree. It was my tree. Don't you just love our trees? Things become precious to you, don't they? Bring back memories to you. But none is more precious than my soul. I just have one soul. Tree dies, I can buy another tree. What about my soul? I have one soul and it's eternal. Death is not the end of the soul, just the end of the body, just the end of life as we know it here. Our Lord said, fear not them which can kill the body. That's all they can do. They can chop it into pieces. They can make it painful. They can do all these things. But that's as far as they can go. They can't touch my soul. But He can. Fear rather Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Our souls are eternal. The rich man said he thought within himself, without concurring with the Word of God, without consulting the purpose and will of God, and without asking for divine guidance. He consulted with himself, and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I got these little piddly barns out here. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to build some big barns. And I'm going to fill them up. And then I'm going to say, soul, take thy knees. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Our soul is eternal. It belongs to God who gave it. And of our bodies, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our souls could at any minute be required of God. I tell you, I've been in a church service. I've told you about this. Old pastor, the one who established that church years ago, he came in. Pastor stopped. He just began his message and he stopped and welcomed him in. And he said, this is the man who founded this church. He said, how are things between you and the Lord? And that old man went up to throw two fingers up in there. We're just like this. God killed him. He never got his hand up. He got it up to about here. He fell over the pew and was dead. Just that. Your soul can be required of you at any minute. We like to look way down the road. But you know, one of these days I'm going to get old and I'm going to do... Huh? Thou fool. Ain't that what the Lord said that man? Thou fool. This day shall thy soul be required of thee. Our souls are eternal. They're in the hand of God. And our bodies will return to the earth. The spirit shall return unto God. Does our souls even enter into our decision making? I was thinking about this all week. Does my soul, does it enter into my everyday affairs? Does it enter into my decision making? Does it enter into my planning? How does it affect my future? Am I even concerned about my soul? Well, the writer of this psalm is a man after God's own heart. And as he sings of a precious commitment to God. He says, my soul, my soul. What will it profit me to gain the whole world and lose my soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? You can't buy it. You don't have the price. What lies in the balance is our souls. Anything else you lose in this life, you can do without or replace it, but not your soul. Here's where salvation begins in men with a commitment of the soul. It's the most precious thing you have. Now, who are you going to trust with this? Huh? Some hot dog preacher? Some Hollywood evangelist? Somebody that's there for his own glory and his own name preaching another gospel? Is that who are you going to trust with your soul? There's only one worthy. That's God our Savior. Here's where salvation begins in men with a commitment of the soul. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What did he commit to him? His soul. The eternal welfare of my soul. If you give yourself, you've given everything. If you trust your soul to him, you're trusting everything. In this life, he said, you'll have tribulation, troubles. In Psalm 25:22, he prays for God to redeem Israel out of his troubles. Job 14:1, he says, man that's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Trouble within, trouble without, trouble from above and trouble from beneath. It's not in a calm that our commitment's born, but in trouble. In trouble. That's why you can't talk to people about their soul today. They ain't in trouble. They're not in trouble. Well, I ain't no sinner like that. God said you are. Fact is, you can't even begin to imagine the depth of your sin and what you're capable of. You may not know it, but you and I are sinners. And sinners are men and women with real trouble. They need saving from the wrath to come. God's wrath is coming. This, I don't know what you want to call it. This day of mercy, this day of grace is drawing to a close. It's not going to go on forever. There's an end. There's a period. It's going to stop. We're living in the day of grace, in the day of mercy, in the day of the light of the gospel. We need saving from the wrath to come. We need saving from this present evil world. We need saving from an untoward generation. We need saving from our fallen nature. We need saving from the vanity of our minds. We need saving from our sins. This psalm is about a commitment of the soul to God, their Savior. So here's the first thing I see, a precious commitment. What about you and I? Huh? Can I take my soul? I have no power, no real power over it. But I tell you, it's involved in salvation. I'm going to take my soul and commit it to Him. Why? Because I'm persuaded He can keep it. And I'm persuaded I can't. And the world won't. So who are you going to commit to? You can commit it to Him. Don't commit it to Him. Second thing we see in these verses is a grand expectation. What's He say? God. God. My soul waiteth upon God. The word waiteth here means to be still. That's what it means. Just be quiet. What did Moses tell that crowd? Moses, you led us in here and look, here comes the Egyptians and the whole army. We could have died back in Egypt. What'd you bring us out here for? Stand still. Be still. That's what Moses said. Be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. See what your Lord can do. If you could just get people to be still for a little bit. Just be still. Oh, that's what that word wait meant. Quietly wait. Not get involved in the mix. Wait upon God is to trust in Him alone for the outcome. When I was a young preacher, I told Brother Mahan, the hardest thing for any man to do is nothing. Isn't it? I just have to get my hand on it somehow. I shall be going how to do something, some kind of carpenter work, and I'm just pretty soon. I said, yeah, well, let me do. Can't keep your hands off, can you? Can't keep your hands. David said, be still. Be still. Oh. Hardest thing to do is nothing. To commit his soul to the Lord and silently wait on Him for deliverance. If the soul be a precious commitment, then God Himself must be the grand expectation. The earnest expectation of all creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's an expectancy even from creation. But all the believer, what an expectation he had. God's going to save my soul. But you really believe, yeah, I believe I'm going to die and they're going to bury me one day. If the Lord don't return, they're going to bury me in the ground just like I buried my wife. They're going to shovel dirt over the casket. They're going to say a few words and everybody's going to go home and hopefully somebody will put a marker up. He lived here. This is his name. Actually, the marker's already there. They're just waiting for the date. That's how sure death is. They don't need to put it off. Just put the only thing left to do is put the date on there. He died this day. They're going to put me in the ground. But I ain't staying in the ground. That's what Job said. I know my Redeemer living, and I stand with him on this earth in the last day. I'll be with him. That's an expectation, ain't Russell? I could die of a heart attack. I could die of cancer. Oh, all creation expects God to save his people. Looks like I could, don't it? And oh, what of the victorious Christ? This man, Hebrews 10:12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth doing what? Expecting. You see what David was talking about? This is a grand expectation. Christ sat down expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. If the Lord of glory can sit down expecting it, looks like I could. There is in the salvation of sinners a grand expectation, and that expectation is that God will intervene on your behalf. God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he said in Psalm 62:5, "Oh my soul," he said, "wait thou," listen, "only upon God." God's not a part of your salvation. He is your salvation. Why would a sinner commit his soul to the Lord? Because from him cometh our salvation. Because he only is my rock and my salvation. Because he's my defense. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Ain't that what it says over in Romans 8? Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, them he called. Whom he called, he justified. Now, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's sake? He's my defense. I don't have to defend myself. God defends me. Because, verse 7, he's my salvation and my glory. I can't glory in anything that I do. The temptation's there, but the reality's not. Only thing I can really glory in is what God does. And then he said, he's my refuge. Why would I commit my... He's my refuge. Because unto him, mercy, verse 12. Mercy. Oh. Alright, thirdly, I see in verse 8 a divine counsel. He said, trust in him at all times. If there's one thing above all others in a relationship, it's trust. When trust is gone, the relationship's gone. Is that right? Sure it is. If love abides, trust abides. They never come alone. What is the essential ingredient of faith? Trust. Trust. That's what it boils down to. In Psalm 118:8, he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Men and Women sometimes come to me for counsel, and here's the only counsel I can offer. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. He's your defense. If He's interdicted, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Trust in Him at all times. What's that mean? That means in every situation and every circumstance. We live in a fix-it generation, don't we? Go to YouTube. Had a helper come over. He was helping me. Probably listening to the message this morning. And every time he talks about doing something, he tells me, you can go on YouTube and they'll tell you how to do that. You can. I know you can. I have lots of friends who do it. They'll tell you how to fix it. And you might fix your refrigerator or your pump, but you ain't going to fix your soul and you ain't going to find out how to on YouTube. If you'd have God's counsel, trust in Him at all times. What's that mean? That means when the roof's falling in. When the lightning fries everything in the house. That means when the doctor comes in shaking his head. Last time I said that, He did. And He may do it again. Trust in Him at all times. This time, next time, every time, and all times. Trust in Him. What's the situation where you couldn't trust in Him? And if you don't trust in Him, who are you going to trust in? You? You're the reason you're in that spot. You ain't going to get yourself out. Oh, the heart of faith is trust, and the object of faith is God. Listen to this verse over in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:18. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that is your daily walk and hope, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now listen to this. Who by Him do believe in God. Huh? Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. His appearance in the flesh, His godly walk, His ministry, His suffering and death, His resurrection, His ascension into glory, His mediation, presently. Oh, this is how we believe in God and why. Who by Him do believe in God that your faith and hope might be in God. His appearance here was to do His Father's will, to satisfy His Father's demands, to promote His Father's purpose, and to reveal His Father's glory. And that He did. And by Him, we believe in God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The heart of faith is to trust. The object of faith is God. And the source of faith is Christ. Who by Him do believe in God. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then fourthly, I see in these verses the sure end of this trust. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. It was said to those who questioned the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. They said, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. That proud Pharisee who never, eyes wide open, looking up into heaven, looking back at a sinner, saying, I thank God I'm not like him. Now he prayeth. He's praying. Acts 9:11. Prayer is the breath of the believer. If God is the object of your faith, the heart of your faith, and the source of your faith, if you truly trust Him, you'll pour out your heart to Him. That's what you do. You reckon God's going to save my children? Maybe I ought to ask Him. Huh? Maybe I ought to ask Him. How often do I call out their names to Him? Oh, what a revelation of our unbelief. If you truly trust Him, you'll pour out your heart to Him. Let me ask you something. Where else are you going to go? Huh? His disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He said, you're free to go. They said, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? And then lastly, I see in these verses a hiding place. God is a refuge, he said, for us. There's a day coming in which men and women will cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of Him with whom they have to do. Where can a sinner go to find a hiding place from God? Here's what he said, Moses, there's a place by me. Oh, thank God, there's a place by me. And it's a rock. And I'm going to put you on the rock. But that still ain't enough hiding place. I'm going to put you in the rock. There's a cleft in it, and I'm going to put you right down in the rock. You're going to be one with the rock. And then you still can't look on my face. But I'll show you my hinder parts. That's His finished work. God is our refuge. I had a great big old satellite back in the days when satellite TV came out. And it seemed to me like that thing was 8 or 10 feet. It was huge. Set out in my backyard. And back then you could get... anybody could get it. It's just a thing that opened up all these things for you. I could get anything anywhere in the world, any kind of TV program, anything that there was, I could get it. And so I turned it on, and I got all involved in these California fires. Man, California was burning down that year. I can't remember what year it was. But anyway, I was watching these things, and just every spare minute I turned it on, and I was just fascinated by them. And there was a story on there about a man, and this fire had changed directions. And he'd come back toward his house, and he had nowhere to go. And he grabbed that little boy up, his son, and took off running. And he was running through there. That fire was jumping through the trees, jumping through the brush. And it was almost ready to catch up with him, and he spied a big opening out there. It was all black and burnt, and he run out there in the middle and threw his boy down and lay down on top of him. And the little boy just shaking and quivering, and he said, Daddy, he said, why have we stopped? He said, son, there's only one safe place to be. That's where the fire has already burnt. Trust in Him. Because in Him, the fire has already burnt. And it burned itself out. Not a hot ash left. God is our refuge. He's our refuge. This is the place where judgment's fires have already burnt. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. What about you and I? Are we in trouble? Do we know it? We've been made aware of the crisis of sin. Are we aware of an impending judgment? Trouble within, trouble without, a troubled past, troubled present, and a troubled future. In this life, what you're going to have is trouble. My soul, he said, wait thou upon God for my expectations from him. Now, preacher, what do you expect? I expect God to save my soul because that's what he said he'd do. He said, if you trust me, how much do I trust him? Not very much. To my shame, not very much. But he said, if my faith is as a grain of mustard seed, that's sufficient because of who it's in. Who it's in. Can you trust him? Can you trust? Oh, not like I want to. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, do you trust him? Natural man don't trust him at all. The whole thing's foolishness to him. Whole thing's a charade. Do I trust him? Oh, why should I? He's my refuge. He's my rock. He's my revelation. He's my salvation. He's my glory. Oh, may the Lord enable every one of us to trust in him. Thank you.